joined in studio now by Irfan Ghaffar. What's up, Irf?
What's up? What's going on?
Welcome, man.
Happy Thursday.
Happy Thursday.
Yep. Game day.
Big TNF, big Canucks game day.
Like we're going to get past the TNF tonight.
Yeah. So? Big TNF, I'm not buying that.
Unless you have
a strong Zelda reach.
Unless you've got Gardner Minshew starting in your quarterback spot somewhere. Nobody has that.
No.
Yeah, these matchups suck. And like last year, a couple of years ago, did they do the color rush?
Yeah.
Those were cool because you just got to see the jerseys. But
that
games were all
dogs. That added some excitement, but like a little bit.
Derrick Henry just mauling guys on the Jaguars last year. It's fun to see on a highlight. Nobody wants to watch the whole game.
No chance.
One piece of intrigue is that Jalen Ramsey component, though, right? Like, does he actually try? How much do they play him? He's going to play. That's maybe why I'll watch a little bit of that game.
I don't think you don't play your best player, though.
The Canucks.
Asset.
And the Oilers, where we want to focus, though. So Elliot Friedman mentions the Canucks are... working the phones, 4 to 5 players seem to be the ones they are shopping hardest. And it makes sense that this shouldn't come as a surprise to anybody seeing the Canucks roster and how many extra bodies are around here in camp. But who are those 5 players in your eyes?
Well, I don't think the names should surprise people.
Yeah.
I think that if you're a Canucks fan and you've been following this team for quite some time, you probably know that Louis Erickson is on that list.
Mm-hmm.
You're probably aware that Brandon Sutter, there has been some interest and the Canucks would take calls on him. And that's not an indictment on Brandon Sutter of a hockey player or anything like that. I just think that maybe the way that Adam Gaudette has come into training camp and the way that things have kind of gone, maybe they see him being a fit in that role. And obviously he's playing his 3rd game here in 4 nights. So clearly the coaches want to see something from him. And then you look at a guy like Sven Berchi, you can use him as an asset because Sven probably isn't Sven Berchi unless he's playing in your top 6. And realistically right now, is he a guy that's penciled in that top 6 role? I don't really know yet. I know that Travis Green called it an audition for him tonight when he goes out and plays with Besser, or is it with Horvat and Miller, I guess?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So it's kind of an audition. And if Sven has an audition for a top 6 role, probably not a fit for you on that team. And obviously a guy like Jake Virtanen, his name has been in and around those trade rumors. He's an asset. He's young. He's got 1 year left on his contract at 1.25. So... he's another guy that teams might be calling out, or calling about. And a change of scenery probably is good for a guy like Jake, especially on a different team that he could do something. So those are the guys that I believe that are garnering interest around the league and who the Canucks have, I don't want to say shopping, and Elliot said that they're shopping, but they're open for business.
Yeah.
Jim's answering phone calls, and as he should be. That's what every general manager should be doing.
Well, let's kind of hone in on a couple of those names. So let's start with Brandon Sutter, because to me that one is kind of puzzling. You know, if there's interest out there from the rest of the NHL, makes sense that you at least listen to see if you get a decent deal. But are the Canucks in a position right now with what they want to achieve to consider that move based on the fact that there are some question marks with Gaudette or whether he can play in the NHL right now? Is that not a big risk when you're looking at what this season is supposed to mean for this team?
Yeah, no, you're right. But I think that you also have to look at it from a standpoint where if a team that's calling in on a guy like Brandon Sutter has considerable assets that they're willing to part ways with. And if there's a player on another roster that can come and help you in the now for Brandon Sutter, or maybe he's a 4th-line guy, maybe he's a 3rd-line guy. I mean, Brandon Sutter's probably not getting you a lot in return, but you do have to collect assets. And remember, the Canucks don't have a first-round draft pick.
Yeah.
You know, they gave up one of those. I'm not saying that Sutter's going to get that, but at some point, you do need to collect assets. So they're taking a look at all their options, and as they should be. They're, with the exception of maybe 4 or 5 guys on this roster, everyone should be available to be asked about.
And I don't think it's a coincidence that Gaudette's playing again tonight.
Yeah.
Right? He's going to be the first guy to play 3 preseason games on the team. If they are exploring a Brandon Sutter trade, I think Travis Green wants to be sure that Gaudette can handle that type of role.
Yeah, and absolutely. And he's going to play bigger minutes tonight.
Yeah.
You know, he's going to be playing in behind Bo Horvat. So there's obviously an elevated offensive role there. And you heard Gaudette talk about, how in the offseason he got bigger, faster, stronger, how he worked on his shot a lot. And his shot's obviously one of his biggest assets.
Yeah.
It's what's gotten him this far. But, I mean, when you look at a guy like Brandon Sutter, unfortunately, when he was called the foundational piece when he was here,
he's never been able to
went 20 81 61 and 26. Like, he only had one full season realistically, and last year was tough for him.
Yeah.
seems like anytime he did something, there was a hernia injury. Yep. Like whether it was, you know, take his equipment off or go on the ice for warm-up or something, he was always getting hurt. So it's an unfortunate part of the business. But when you look at a guy like Brandon Sutter, and he's a guy that's coming into camp healthy, if he's someone that, you know, the Canucks are willing to part ways with and they can get a decent enough return, I mean, I'd do it too. And same for Sven Berchi as well. But of those names, your biggest asset's probably Jake Virtanen.
Yeah.
I mean, just because of where he is.
Do you think the way that he came into camp has a role to play in that? Or was this probably the thought before even that happened?
Jake?
Yeah, as far as being potentially a player that they would may be in a position to move on from. Do you think that moment added to that and is more of a reason that they may be considering moving off of him?
I don't know. I don't think you're just going to give up on a player because he came in camp out of shape.
Yeah.
I think that it happens. It's on the player now to go out and go about business and get better and get yourself in a conditioned spot so you're able to contribute every single night. But if you're asking me right now, if you look at this lineup, are there other guys that are probably in and ahead of Jake Virtanen? Yeah. And
sure.
if that's the case, and you know you can probably get something for this kid, then I'd go and pull the trigger. And, you know, obviously Nikolai Goldobin as well,
yeah.
But... Yeah, you know, so we saw in the 31 thoughts from Elliot Friedman that Travis Green was a little bit frustrated with Nikolai Goldobin last season. He's not frustrated anymore.
Yeah.
He actually really, really likes the way he's playing. So I think that's a huge step for Goldobin.
The thing, and he made some really nice defensive
yep.
plays the other night. And I think that's the kind of thing that's really going to help you out and get you in the coach's good books
yeah.
after you've been in the doghouse for a while. But with Jake, sixth overall pick, you can still see all of the tools that got him selected that high. You could see he still got the burst, the speed, straight line speed. Certainly he has that. He's still got the power, the size in his game. There's a lot of teams out there that would be like, that's a guy and a lot of coaches out there that would be, that's a guy I can work with, and I can see him to a higher potential.
But does he have what's upstairs for to continue that? You know what I mean?
That's what other coaches are probably asking, right?
So, motivation is key as well, right?
Well, I think that a lot of it. Look, I like Jake Virtanen. I think he's a good kid. I think he is a very good hockey player. I think that if he applies himself, he could be a top six forward on this team. And I just think that the application process is slow.
Yeah,
I think that you get drafted to your hometown, sixth overall. There's a lot of pressure on you right there, but then you get comfortable because you're in your hometown. It's okay. Well, they're not going to play me. I'm from here.
Yeah.
And he had that 1 year, that 40 games or whatever, he played in Utica with Travis.
Yep.
So no one knows what went on there.
No.
You know, and how the relationship grew there or if it didn't. And then you saw what had happened the last couple seasons here. But I think that if he's a kid that does apply himself, he's probably their best skater in a straight line.
Yeah.
Like, easily. I think his skating is what's keeping him around right now. But there's a lot more going on there. And I think that if he just applies himself, 25% more.
Yeah, I do wonder, you know, like what is, you know, what is that offer that gets Jim to say yes? If it's a second round pick, in my eyes, I would probably say yes to that.
Well, absolutely.
I don't know how Jim feels knowing that, you know, that was his first pick since when he came into the organization. Are you getting that from another team? I'm not so sure, but if that's what it was, I'd pull the trigger on that, knowing that, you know, it's been a nice, you got Tanner Pearson who played really well. Josh Levo had some good moments last year. You've got Roussel coming down the line in a couple of months. You know, there's not a lot of spots here anymore for
Miller, Furland, all these guys.
And you also have to free up some salary as well. And I know Jordan from Saskatoon texting in on the Subway text line 650-650 asking if you'd do Virtanen or Goldie for Hosang. Problem is, that's another body coming back the other way, right? And he's also a bit of a player that's in the similar light. When you're questioning motivation, Josh Hosang has been exactly that.
Yeah.
I don't know if that's the ideal move for the Vancouver Canucks.
I'm not doing that. Yeah. I don't think that. I think that Jim Benning and probably Travis Green are smart enough to, you don't pull that trigger. Look, Jake Virtanen doesn't have anything going on where it's the off the ice issues or anything like that. It's just, you know, it was his conditioning before camp. That's basically what it has been.
Yeah.
And for Goldobin, it's getting better at defense. And I think that, you know, one has addressed the issues, and that's why you'll probably see one in the lineup on opening day and maybe not the other.
Irfan Gafar in studio, 650 on the Subway text line, another text for Tannen for Puljujarvi. Don't know if that is going to be on the table, but it's possible. But again, what does it change in terms of bodies here at camp?
Yeah, would people be upset if the Canucks traded Jake Virtanen?
Yeah.
Because there's so much,
they would.
You're getting a guy with arguably more potential in Puljujärvi.
I'm not saying Puljujärvi.
Yeah. I mean...
But you got to remember,
that's an interesting
Puljujärvi as well. You got to remember that this is a guy that wants top 6 minutes. He wants to play 15 minutes a game.
Oh yeah,
that ain't happening in Vancouver the way that he's played the last year. That's a problem right now for a lot of teams.
But the Canucks aren't in a spot where they're taking chances on guys anymore. Nope. They need guys that are going to help them now and help them get to a playoff spot. Brock Besser, 3-year deal, instead of going long term. There was so many reports out there, so much talk, so much speculation. It's a good number for Brock. It's a good number for the Canucks. They get him into camp. They get him ready to go for the start of the season. That's what everybody wanted most here. But and we're going to ask the same question to Jeff Merrick later, but are the Canucks going to regret not going long-term with Brock?
Well, if he scores 30, going 30 and 30, and then the best number for Brock is a 7.5 in this final year of his deal. The first year or whatever. It's the final year of his deal where it's $7.5 million. And you see how the way the contracts works out for Zach Werenski and all these other guys. And I think that when you look at Brock Besser and him coming into camp, what was he say? He was 202 or something like that?
Yeah, 203.
203. Yep. Said he was 203. And you know, Bo had that funny line about the
lean, mean, peaty winger machine.
There you go. Well, I mean, look. They're saying that now. They haven't even played a game together yet.
Yeah.
And, you know, I was at practice yesterday just seeing him skate around a little bit. He does look good. And Travis Green said that too, that he did look good, that he looked like he was ready to go. So I think that from that standpoint, it's exciting. You're getting a guy that has already known what he can do. He's their second most natural goal scorer on the team. And guys that put the puck in the net get paid.
Yeah.
So I don't know if the Canucks are going to regret going long-term. Or not going long-term, but I do know that they're going to be in quite a predicament if Elias Pettersson gets another 2 seasons of scoring almost 30 goals as well.
Yeah.
And Quinn Hughes emerges as this absolutely wonderful talent that everyone hopes he can be. So, and then Bo Horvat's going to have to sign again at some point.
Yeah.
So you have all these things, and yes, the cap probably does go up eventually, but you can't count on that.
No.
I think that the deal's good right now. I just don't think that they could have come to a long-term solution on the final. Six or six times seven or whatever it had been, but I don't think that the Besser camp was willing to go that long on that deal.
Well, you do dangle that carrot in front of him now because look at that number at Mark Stone, right? $9 million. If essentially what you're saying to Brock Besser is, hey, you got 3 years to prove that you can be a solid, you know, stay healthy, put the puck in the net, and on top of that, kind of round out that overall game. And in a couple of years' time, if you can become that overall, I think a better winger altogether, defensively and everything, there's no mistake that he's going to get paid probably close to probably about $9 million. If those other guys are the benchmark of really good wingers that can play a complete game, they are basically saying, hey, Brock, if you can round out your game, you might be pretty close to that number as well.
I mean, Mark Stone's a five-time 20 goal scorer. Yeah. Like, the guy puts the puck in the net.
Yeah,
right.
But and one of the elite wingers when it comes to the defensive side of it too, right?
He's probably the best 200-foot player on the wing in the league.
Yeah.
You know, that's what Mark Stone represents. The thing with Brock, and we have a text that kind of mentions it, and Randy, you mentioned it there as well. You know, like if he plays well enough to earn himself $9 million per in a couple of years' time, you're fine with that, A, because it means Brock's done well, and your team has probably done well also because of that. But if the ask was $8 million now, you know, the savings you have now has allowed you to add more pieces and try to take advantage of Elias Pettersson on his entry-level deal and Quinn Hughes on his entry-level deal, that, you know, the extra million or whatever that it would be isn't the end of the world if the ask was over eight from Brock. Just my humble opinion on that. But either way, he's in here in camp, and the Canucks are going to need that. They want him to get going quickly and get that power play working. Jacob Markstrom getting his first preseason action tonight. How comfortable are we with Jake going into this season? You think he carries
over
he did last year?
Yeah, I think the summer that he had and the way that things ended for him last season, it put him in a different headspace. put him in a headspace where he knows coming into camp that this is his team. And he basically has to play himself out of a starting spot. And I think that for a guy like Jacob, the technical side, the mental side, all that of the game is starting to come into his own a lot better just because of the work he's had with Ian Clark. Like I said, Ian Clark went out in the summer and visited again. Went and talked with Jacob Markstrom and went and met with guys like Thatcher Demko and Michael DiPietro and had those talks, had those off the ice, you know, the mental side of the game type of stuff. And for a guy like Jacob Markstrom, you know he's a pretty good athlete. You know he's a good goalie. Like, you know he's probably going to stop the puck. Whoops. And then I just think that there's one of those things when you look at the rest of what Jacob Markstrom does is he going to be mentally able to handle a 4-0 loss? And I think that we're at that point at the stage in his career is if he's able to handle it.
Well, when it comes to Markstrom, also, where do you think the organization stands on the outlook as far as getting that contract signed? And Reach, this is open to you as well. Should that be a priority right now? If you feel like he's in the right headspace, the wait-and-see approach, is that what the Canucks are going to do here? Or do you think activity is going to pick up here, Irv, as far as locking into him?
I think that they should be working on an extension.
Yeah.
I just don't know that the money's there, right? And obviously it isn't. And
it's not right now. Yeah.
Well, I think the most important contract that they need to get done is Ian Clark.
Yeah.
That's probably the next on the Jim Benning to-do list. Kind of put that one on the back burner, but that's definitely the next one on his to-do list for sure.
Especially with how well
we've
seen these Canucks goalies play and even Thatcher Demko the other night.
I mean, you look at a guy that swears by him is Sergei Bobrovsky.
Yeah.
Right? So if that's the case, and you know see how much money that he's getting paid. Now, I'm not saying that Jacob Markstrom's in that elite goaltending category, but if he can play half or if he can play as well as he did for the second half of that season and have the defense that he has in front of him now, how do the Canucks not have themselves in a position to succeed or at least be in the conversation when it comes playoff time?
Yeah, it's the improvements and having that would put this team into a playoff spot, especially after you have Winnipeg going through what they're going through right now and all of that. It's Dan Riccio and Randeep Janda coming up at 4:20. Yes, because the Canucks are coming up at 6 o'clock today. Your next chance to enter into the final draw for lower bowl season tickets to the Vancouver Canucks through Name That Nuck is coming up at 4:20 and 5:20. So I know you might have other activities going on at 4:20. But you should
too
probably
easy,
be tuning
Reach. Come on, come
okay,
on, man.
Sorry.
It's legal now. We don't have to drop that joke anymore.
You suck.
That's true.
Dad joke wasn't even that bad compared to yours.
Yes, 4:20 and 5:20 are your next chances for Name That Nuck. Tune into the program with Walker and Rintoul. Alpine Credits. Own your home and need a loan. Homeowners get approved. Irv, appreciate the time, pal.
See you, boys. Enjoy the game.
Thanks, Irv.
Enjoy the weekend.
Yeah.
Sportsnet 650.